Just beautiful. So this morning we're going to talk about films, movies. And I bet that you can all think of a film that made you cry or made you laugh or made you angry about the human plight or frightened you or maybe all of those things. I believe that films work not only through the aesthetic senses, that is the beauty, the visual beauty of it, but also the emotional, it affects us on an emotional level when we see films. And sometimes, if they ring true, they teach us about life. I like to go to the movies. I believe that movies have an impact on my life. And sometimes I do think I do things differently because of what I've seen in a film, what I've experienced and what the character has gone through in the film. I think a good film, I know a good film, has changed and empowered my life, empowered me. I found a series of interviews that Bill Moyer did a few years ago in which he was exploring the idea of values, and he wanted to, values and beliefs, he wanted to interview someone who made films who had that connection to values and beliefs, and he interviewed the producer David Putnam. David Putnam isn't heard about so much anymore, but he was the producer who made the film Chariots of Fire, The Killing Fields, The Mission, Local Hero, and Midnight Express. This was back in the 1980s. Putnam said in this interview, "I don't believe that there's an immediate effect from seeing one film, but there is a drip, drip, drip effect that takes place over a period of watching films over a period of years." And he said that as a young person in England, he found that America cinema gave him a special vision, gave him perimeters. He was particularly talking about those films that were made in the 50s that dealt with justice. And he mentioned specifically the film that was made in 1960 about the Scopes trial, in which Spencer Tracy played the part of the lawyer who was defending Scopes, and Frederick March played the man who was defending the Bible. And he found that that movie, Inherit the Wind, had a profound impact on his life in terms of the kinds of films. At that point, he may not have known he wanted to make films, but it had a profound effect as he began to make them. He said that the role of the filmmaker is to promote a society in which there is justice and mutual responsibility. He said that if you create a film that speaks to audiences and addresses what's best in them, it's going to have resonance. People will walk out of those cinemas all over the world, in all those cities, in all those cultures, in all those nations, with better instincts and better able to fight for what's best in the world than they were when they walked in. Well, there are so many films which have had this kind of impact on my life. As I was thinking about this, the number was just so numerous, I had to get it down to just a few so that we could really focus. And today I'm focusing on four of those films that have impacted me over my lifetime. The first one that I want to talk about is Chariots of Fire, since it does fit with David Putnam, and he made that film. He made it in 1981, and it won the Academy Award that year, surprisingly to everybody, I guess. It came at a time in my life when I was really out of shape. I wasn't taking care of myself. I was not highly motivated about my life and its purpose. And I wasn't doing that well. But I was with my husband and a friend of ours, and we were walking around in Lower Manhattan, and we saw past a theater, and they were playing this film, and we didn't know what it was, but we just said, on a lark, we just said, hey, let's go in and watch that. I don't even know why we did it. We weren't planning on going there. So I found myself, as I watched this film, and possibly you haven't seen it, but I went back and watched it again for the purpose of this talk, and I found it's aged somewhat over the years, but it still has that tremendous power. As the film unrolled, I became so enraptured with the enthusiasm of these young men who were getting ready to run in the Olympics in Paris in 1924. They were so healthy. They were so full of life. They had promise. They were dedicated. There was also Vangelis's soundtrack, which is, if you know it, a very hypnotic music. And it just made my feet hum when I heard it. So I'm going to play it on this outdated instrument here, which may still work. Let's see. We just get a little feeling for it. It just got my feet moving. How could you not want to get out and run when you hear this? Just beautiful. So, this piece of music, I think, was a large part. But I cheered with everybody else when those athletes came across the line, and they were so excited, and it just gave me goosebumps. I don't know that I've ever had that kind of a reaction to another film. So the next day, my friend gave me a copy. This is the copy that he gave me of the soundtrack. And I started playing it on my Walkman. And I started going out and running just around my road and up Barger Street. And little by little, I got to a mile. And little by little, I made a major change in my life. I started running every day. And finally, I got up to 6 miles a day. And I have to say, I used to run up to the Taconic and back and all over the roads up where I live. And I was motivated. I believed that running was something I could do. I believed it was a positive, great thing. And I committed myself to it because I realized that it was a good thing for me to do for myself. I lost weight. I got into shape. I felt good about myself. And I kept playing that music as I ran. It just was something that motivated me. It was a motivation. It was an inspiration. And it stuck. It stuck with me. And I did it long enough that I kept doing it. So there was one major change for me. That was before I joined this fellowship, and somewhat not too long after that, I joined this fellowship. But it was the beginning of my having a new kind of life, that film. The second film that has had a great impact on my life, and this is so strange, but every time we mention it, or someone mentions it, I think about how it grabs my heart. It's Ingmar Bergman's Wild Strawberries. So I would say, perhaps for most of you, some of you here, you may not know Ingmar Bergman. I know he's not shown too much anymore, or Wild Strawberries, but Wild Strawberries is one of my favorite films of Ingmar Bergman. He made it in 1957. I had no clue about who Ingmar Bergman was, and I didn't find his films until I went to college. And then kids were going to his films, and I went with a friend to see Wild Strawberries. The plot of the film is simple. Professor Borg is this embittered old man who is going to be awarded by his university. And on the day of that award, he wakes up with a terrible nightmare. He has a nightmare about going out on the street, the clocks have no hands, and a casket is coming toward him on the street and falls open at his feet, and he's the person in the casket. So you can imagine that he starts the day in a very scary way for himself. He doesn't yet have the idea in his mind that he's a bitter old man, but he's going to find out. He decides to drive to the university honor, and his daughter-in-law, who's been staying with him because she's estranged from her husband, asks to go with him. And during the course of that ride, she lets him know that she doesn't like him. She thinks he's a bitter old man. And he's very hurt by that. He doesn't quite get it. But little by little, in the journey of that day, he begins to change. They stop at his family's old summer home, where he used to pick wild strawberries with the love of his life, who married someone else. And when Ellie was talking about looking at arbutus with her father last week, made me think of the same kind of symbolism of these wild strawberries. This was the essence of the film. The strawberries represented life and nurture, and this was what he had gotten disconnected from. So he stops for this visit, and in the visit, the love comes back, and he remembers the scenes of them talking as they're picking the strawberries. And you can sense this, that he's beginning to soften up a little bit. So he picks up a hitchhiker, and the girl is very much looks like, and is played by the same person who plays the part of his old girlfriend. There are some kids who are hitchhiking. They pick them up, and they go on to the award. And when he gets that award, you realize that he's not the same man as he was when he started out that morning. He hasn't changed completely, but he understands that he's missing something very important in life, and that's love. So that's represented by his kindness to the hitchhikers, and also he develops a relationship with his daughter-in-law. He's able to overcome that dislike that she's had for him, and they begin to develop a nurturing relationship. So the beauty of nature, the beauty of the wild strawberries, revisiting these moments and beginning to open himself to the possibilities of what it might mean to love, to be able to love people and to express that love. I was only 19 at the time I saw this film, and I still have trouble understanding why a film like this would impact me so. But I think it was helping me to begin to understand, how do I want to look at my life? And when I get to Professor Borg's time of life, what do I want to look back on and see? And what do I want to think of as what I've done? I think that was what touched me in the film. But there's a special scene at the very end when he goes to bed, and then his daughter-in-law comes in to say goodnight, and she and the husband have resolved their relationship, and she kisses him goodnight, and then he goes to sleep, and there's such a smile on his face and a light suffused from his face that this man who played the part was a wonderful actor, and he died the year after he did this role, and he was kind of difficult, I guess, while they were making this film. He would have to have his little glass of whiskey at 4 o'clock every afternoon. And then sometimes he would come back and do some more scenes, but they got the scenes done. But this last scene, his face is suffused with light, and it's just beautiful. So I found that to be a spiritual thing. It made me believe, even at that age, you can change. And I think of it every time I hear Wild Strawberries. The third film that made an impact was The Wizard of Oz, and that film was made in 1939. I'm sure that each of you here has probably seen it or read the book or at least knows the story. It's a mythic story. Dorothy is on her way to see the wizard, and on her way she partners up with the lion and the scarecrow and the tin man, and they're following the yellow brick road to find the wizard, and they're hoping that the wizard is going to grant them courage, a brain, a heart, the ability to find your way home. That's what they're looking for. And when they find the wizard, it all changes. As you may know from the film, I don't think this is a spoiler, Toto goes behind the scenes, that cute little dog goes behind and sees the guy back there, and it's all exposed. It's all exposed as a hoax.
Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
What?
Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
Yeah, right. So you can't do it because you don't find it from somebody else. You find it inside yourself. That was the thing that got me in that movie. That was the thing that got me. Don't look for your confidence, your courage, your whatever you're looking for. Don't look for it from somebody else to give it to you. You have it inside, and you need to bring it out and experience it and love it and embrace it. That is what I found from that movie. So I never watched the movie as a child because those flying monkeys just scared me so much. I'd see those be on TV. I'd see those flying monkeys and I would run away. Yeah, I don't want to see that. And the witch too was pretty scary. So she did a great job. But after I saw it as an adult, everybody said, you got to see this movie. So I went, and I guess they show it every year, or they show it all the time on Turner Movie Channel. But I went and watched the movie, and I could see why people found it to be so powerful. It just grabbed me. It just made me think, I can have confidence. I don't need somebody else to give it to me. And a few years ago, I went to a lecture about Frank Baum that was at the Mayapack Library. Did you see it too? Great. This guy did a biography of him, and he did all this research. And it turns out that his mother, Frank Baum's mother, was one of the early feminists. And Frank Baum made Dorothy, a girl, the hero because of that instead of a boy, which I thought was very cool. And the other thing, when he got married, he had his honeymoon with his wife. Somehow their train got caught in Kansas. And his wife said, Kansas is the most boring place I've ever been. I never want to come back here. And so that's why he made the scene. That's what this guy thought. He made the scene in Kansas because of that experience. The other thing is that yellow brick road, I found out, I didn't know it before that, is right down here in Peekskill. Did everybody know the yellow brick road is down in Peekskill? Frank Baum was sent to a military school that was in Peekskill. And when he got out of the train, he was a young boy. He was a kind of an effeminate boy, or his father wanted him to be in military, wanted him to be strong and all this stuff. So his father sent him to this military academy, and he'd been on the train by himself and he didn't know where he was. He got out of the train and asked the conductor, where's the academy? And the conductor said, just follow the yellow brick road. So it's funny how all of these things come together and sort of connect back to us. So it might be fun sometime to go down and see that yellow brick road. I bet George has seen it. So that's the Wizard of Oz. The last film that I want to mention in this description of four films that have impacted my life is the movie Interstellar, which was made in 2014. Matthew McConaughey plays the astronaut in that film. I don't know how many of you have seen it. I am not going to do a spoiler on it for you, but I will say that I've watched this film several times. I do love it. It's a film about the Earth dying, And the scientists have figured out that there are other planets that might be planets that human beings could live on. And they don't want the end of the human race, so they're going to try to get them out to this planet to have a place where people can live. And Matthew McConaughey is the hero who is going to go out into space and find that planet. I find every time I watch this film, and even though I know what's going to happen, I just start crying. I've tried to figure out what that is about, because not everybody has that reaction to it. But I think what it is about is there's a plot in the film which the interstellar is they're traveling back and forth in time. And time is this thing in which he might be traveling for a half an hour, but it turns out to be 20 years back on Earth. It's a very, very interesting thing how they go back and forth in time in this film. And I think that's the thing. There's also that spiritual element to, you know, what is that thing that helps people to communicate back and forth through time? And I guess I think of my ancestors too, and how we communicate to those before us and how we communicate to those who have been behind us. It's just a beautiful thing how it's done. So I would encourage you to see it. And the Interstellar, it's really wonderful in terms of how it portrays that sense of connection through time and the dimensions of time, which just make me think about this stage of my life, how precious every moment is, how precious time is, and how do I spend each moment of my time? What do I do with each moment? I find myself saying, if there's a bad show on TV, I'm not going to waste these 20 minutes watching this. I'm going to try to go either just go out and look at a tree or something that's meaningful. I try to make myself more aware, and I think that's what this film, I think that's the impact this film has had on me. And it's another example, too, if you think about it, of the hero, the courage that Dorothy had in The Wizard of Oz, the courage that Matthew McConaughey has in going out into space to find another planet. It's discovering what needs to be done and doing it. So the values that I have found in each of these films are about learning and growing and about being able to change. I found that they gave me motivation, and I found that that motivation got me started and got me changing. And I could see modeling there for what I wanted to be. And I could see my life changing as a result. In a similar way, I think that we can apply some of that idea of change as a message to our fellowship. You know that we've been going through long-range planning and other thoughts about our future. And so the message is, are we growing in our knowledge to adapt as the world changes here in this fellowship? We've been talking about that. Is the message in these films that I have discussed something that might apply to our future as a congregation as well as to my life? So you've heard about the long-range planning team's report. Copy of it was handed out in September, and the board has been discussing it and the responses that we got to the surveys. And what I want to just mention here at the end is that there are going to be a few scouts, we'll call them scouts, for the future, a few visionary people who are going to establish a frame for a movie about where the fellowship is headed. Not actually going to make a movie, but they're going to talk about what that vision might look like. And it's going to take into account all those things that we've been doing to plan And you are going to be hearing from some of those visionary people very soon. So to sum it up, I believe that film can be a catalyst for change. As I learned how to adapt to my life, I believe that our fellowship can learn to adapt to the future. And there is a quote in Interstellar. It's spoken by Matthew McConaughey as the astronaut who is going to take this group out into outer space. He's trying to describe the future. I believe that it's true of my life, and it's true of life, and I think that it can be true as well for our fellowship. And here's what he says. We're still pioneers. We barely begun. Our greatest accomplishments cannot be behind us, 'cause our destiny lies above us.